feels like the universe is asking us to grow up, doesn't it? And it's okay. We're ready to go. We're ready to move. And Maureen J. St. Germain is a teacher who is helping everyone move in a good direction. She is founder of the Ascension Institute Mystery School. And although she began as a reluctant channel and teacher, she's fully on board and is a prolific author whose latest book is Mastering Your 5D Self. Thanks for tuning in. This is Robin with Tributaries. Maureen, hi. My favorite t-shirt slogan of late is Wake the Folk, F-O-L-K, up. And it sure appears that that's what's being asked of us of late. And so now it's written on the wall and even on the t-shirt.
Yes, well, I think that that's a fair statement. Many of us have our lives so prescripted or scripted that we can't even think beyond it. So part of the problem I see is habit and beliefs that hold us back because we are in a major shift, major transformation. It kind of reminds me of that old movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy.
Right.
We really have to shift our thinking.
Absolutely, yes. And your most recent book, Mastering Your 5D Self, is addressing all of this. And I was wondering, is it a tough challenge in that we're taught in most instances in humanhood to read a book for knowledge, and yet moving into the absolute is not a teaching? It's not a knowledge we learn. It's really an experience.
Well, you know, it's a very important aspect. So many people have, again, reverted back to older experiences to evaluate the world they're in. And the first thing we need to do is to decide that things could be different than we have known them. A little example is when I was working out at a gym at a hotel one time, they had a big water cooler, but no water jug on top of it. And I had come with my thermos ready to fill it. I was so disappointed because there was no water jug. When I was all done with my workout, somebody came along with his thermos and filled his thermos because the cooler was plumbed to the water baseline. So my expectation of a jug was an old movie, an old version of how the reality is. And so one of the best things you can do is to say to yourself, I expect to be amazed.
Beautiful, yes. Yeah. And I've heard you say that you are a reluctant channel, or you were, let me put it that way, you were a reluctant channel and hence teacher. How did you lose that reluctant part?
Well, I always wanted to teach, but as a channel, I was afraid that I would appear to be a fraud. So I had to get out of my own way and accept that I was a messenger and there were important messages to be told. One of the most important messages that have come through me as a channel is the game is over, referring to the 3D game. And the game will end when there are no more players. Will you be the first to leave or the last?
That is certainly true. We're all on the same ship moving in the same direction. What do you say about loving oneself? It's a key piece of the story, I know, but how does one actually recognize that in moving forward?
Again, this is your self-talk. We all have self-talk that tells us we're not good enough, that we're, you know, a failure because we've heard it from other people that we loved and respect. So one of the ways I tell people to shift out of that is to say to yourself, dear God, source, whoever you pray to, show me how much I am loved. And then when you see that love reflected in you from somewhere else, it's a lot easier to love yourself because we do look to others for validation. And our old paradigm says we have to accept those who have been around us and influence us as our current paradigm. But if we're ready to shift and change, then we can accept anyone's feedback as part of our matrix.
This brings me to a place where your impressions about creating with high emotion, sadness, or joy, and then also about hearing the love behind anger or verbal attacks. And you just mentioned something that addresses that in a way, and yet moving out of it isn't as easy as thinking you want to.
I agree. I think it's directly related to your earlier question about self-love or self-esteem. But when you feel the love of Source in your world, whether it's somebody saying, you know, you look so nice today, or I so appreciate the time you took to explain this to me, whatever it is, when you ask for the help, show me how much I'm loved, what happens is your self-image improves to the place where you don't need to take negative feedback seriously. So it changes how you look at yourself because you know you're on task. You know you're doing what you need to do. You know you've made a positive impact in someone's life. So when someone comes along and says something derogatory, you can look at that and say, oh, well, they probably meant this, and change it and reframe it because you have the power of your own self-worth to guide you. I've had so many instances of people saying snarky things to me and me feeling so much love for them. And I think it comes from having a sense of connection with our own creator that allows me to feel safe and secure. So when someone says something snarky, I know they're hurting. They're wanting to share their hurts by hurting me. They don't mean to be hurtful. They're just trying to get out of their own way. So one of the funniest things that ever happened, it's funny now, I don't think it was funny in the moment, was when my stepfather, who had a sharp tongue but a nice, kind heart, said, oh, just like your mother. And I looked at him and I said, you know, that's one of the nicest things you've ever said to me. And I sincerely meant it. I meant it with total purity.
Of course.
And then, of course, he said, I didn't mean, but he couldn't finish his sentence. He stopped midstream. And then my mother leaned over and said, honey, I don't think. And I stopped her and I said, you know, I get to receive. I get to receive the way I want to.
It's a new kind of relationship, and it's a new kind of relationship to words as well. I love that you speak about our polarity-based language and talk about something that would be nice to move out of.
Mm-hmm. One of the most important phrases that we all use that we need to unhook from is this phrase about, I have to. I have to pick up the kids. I have to meet my partner. I have to get this report done. I have to do this interview. And if we were to let go of that have to, we would stop handing off our power to some outside authority and instead say, I promised my boss I'd get this report done. I got to go. I need to pick up the kids. I like it when they like it when I'm on time. I'm meeting my honey for dinner. I'm so happy about that. I got to go. It's a different vibration. And that vibration tells the universe something new. And when we buy into the higher, I have to, we're actually buying into the big brother thing. It was an old book about Atlas Shrugged or something like that. You know, one of those books that basically said utopia means you have to do what you're told.
And here we are, the biggest culprit on ourselves, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's well said. And once we own that, that we have the choice, and we do choose wisely, we don't have to do anything. We want to. It makes us happy to do. And that's then we own that by saying it that way. And another big culprit is I can't. I can't get there on time. I can't do this. I can't do that. Of course, all the parts about no, I don't like that. And all of that can be summed up in, that's a match. Well, that doesn't match for me. I'll pass. When you say, that's not a match for me, I'll pass, there's not the least bit of energy about, that was a bad restaurant choice, I'm not eating there. There's no energy about, well, why were you thinking of that movie? none of that shows up.
Right.
Which is so powerful, because then you're not dissing the idea or the person who spoke it. And you're just saying, no, it doesn't work for me. It's very amazing. One other thing I want to say about this, and that is one thing that I've been emphasizing a lot lately is stop teaching your children to lie. And what I mean by that is when you ask a child a question that you already know the answer to, you are telling them to lie to me because they don't want to hurt mom. They don't want to hurt dad. They want to give you the answer you want to hear. So asking, did you finish your homework, is not a good thing because it really means I don't trust you. But when you say, how's your homework coming along? Do you need any help? And if they say, no, I got it covered, then you can say, great, can I see it? It changes the matrix from distrust to trust. And from, you probably should lie about this because otherwise she's going to be mad.
Right.
Yeah, the setup is, if you know the answer, you know they ate the last cookie in the cookie jar, don't ask. Go to a different question, like, I sure hope you're going to eat your dinner because all those cookies are gone and I don't know who else could have eaten.
It's so easy to get caught up in those things. And speaking mm-hmm. about the polarity of language, how easy is it daily to get caught up in, this is good, this is bad? Mm-hmm. It's not even a blame thing of you're good or you're bad. It's just the way our minds, in a way, are taught to work through living in the society and the world that we've been in. And thank goodness there are things that are shifting. And one of the things you talk about that is, I think, part of this piece of the story, but it is allowing for different outcomes. For instance, you talk about allowing death to lead to gratitude, not to death.
Mm. Yes, and to take all of our experiences as opportunities to grow
right.
rather than lessons. Because lessons implies a failing or a lack of knowledge. But when you look at it as an opportunity to grow, it just means you had an experience that allowed you to see something you didn't know you would experience. It's a whole different world that we're moving into in 5D. You know, what I try to do is say to people, look, it's like the difference between football and soccer. These two games are very similar, but they're radically different. There is no physical contact in soccer. And in football, you have to gear up and put on lots of padding so you don't get hurt. So there's a huge difference here. That football is like 3D and soccer is like 5D. Soccer requires skill, adeptness, strength, courage. So does the other game of football. But the way they operate is radically different. So we're learning that we could still have fun, play games, accomplish things, but we don't have to be quite so polarized and quite so extremist. It changes how we look at things.
Right. You know, in speaking about the 5D, I just have to really question or wonder about dividing dimensions. It almost feels like calling 5D, 5D, is a third dimension awareness. Does that make sense to you? Or
yes, it does. And I love your analogy because what I think of the dimensions is like that Chinese finger toy that is woven together. And then when you pull to try to pull your fingers out, it gets tighter. Okay, so mm-hmm. 3D is one side of the experience and 5D is another. And the middle ground is 4D, that's the portal or the transition point. And it is true that in 5D, you can participate in 3D. So in your 5D unconditional love place, you can still experience 3D stuff. It won't hit you the same way it does if you're in 3D, like my example of my stepfather. At
yes.
the same time, the masters and guides that I've been working with have created I'll call it a workaround, that says the magnanimous dimension holds all three, and you can slide easily between the two, and this will make it easier for people to land in 5D more frequently, because it isn't like getting a driver's license where you get in there and now you can drive anywhere. It's more like having a driver's license but not having a car. And so anytime you need a car, you have to borrow or rent one. You have to take an action to move into that other space. And while you have the rental car, you don't think about the fact that it's a rental car. But at some point, you have to return it. And so the awareness of sliding back into 3D without dropping into 3D is a very interesting concept. But you can literally operate at 5D within 3D. So your statement, 5D is a higher awareness at 3D, is totally accurate.
Along the lines of hocus pocus, it's all where you focus. There's an element in waking up into consciousness, and I don't even want to use the word higher consciousness because that insinuates so much, doesn't it? It's like there's a healing or an awareness going on. And I think it makes a difference because I feel like this whole world has turned into, oh, I'm healing. We are in this assumption of I need healing. And that's certainly not a 5D thought frame, I don't think.
Well, I think your point is well taken. But, you know, it's like what they say in the AA programs. The first problem is to admit you have a problem. So I don't think it's too far-fetched to say I need healing. What are you doing about it is what's really important. And I think that's where you're aiming at. Because if we're stuck in a way of operating and we don't know that we're doing it, we can't fix it. I can remember at one time when my husband and I were working together at the computer in the early days, I kept touching the screen to point out something. And he said to me, quit touching the screen. And I said, I'm not touching the screen. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. I was completely oblivious to the fact that I was doing it. So finally I said, okay, fine. If you think I'm touching the screen, then the next time I touch it, will you tell me? I'll bet it was not more than 30 seconds. See, you're doing it again. And I point this out because until we're ready to be aware, we don't know what we don't know. And that's, I think, what this is about.
It's like when you're ready, the teacher will arrive, right? Mm-hmm. So until that time, that's why, going back to where we were a little bit earlier, seeing the love behind the anger attacks or seeing the love regardless of where someone's at. Obviously, if we could all, or maybe not so obviously, but I feel if we all could wake up conscious, we would. It wouldn't be a question of, oh, should I go steal this from my neighbor or should I be conscious? It wouldn't be a question.
And I also think sometimes that there's a lot of extras out there so that the principals can have their role of stepping into their power. And as soon as the principals do that, then all the extras flip right with them. You know, it's almost like that conversation I had with someone who called me about astrology. And this was a family member who never believed in that stuff and might even be willing to make fun of it. And now I'm getting this conversation like it's a recipe, you know. Well, what about this and what about that? You know, yeah, that's interesting and blah, blah, blah. And you get off the phone and you go, wait a minute. They weren't even into this stuff 6 months ago or 3 months ago.
Right.
And that's what I mean when I say people flip. They literally flip. And they don't even know that they have flipped. That's what I'm calling the extras. Those that they didn't need to flip. They were just holding, I'll call it the incomplete or the dark side of the rainbow, so that you would see the rainbow more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And once you see it clearly, then they'll flip.
Yes.
So I don't think we have to wait till 100% of the population steps into their true power. I think it's going to be 51% or something like that.
You know,
the whole thing will just flip.
Right. I don't think it's going to be 51% because I think there's so much that's open when there's absolute consciousness going on. You know what I mean? It's, it could.
Mm-hmm. You know, your point is well taken. One time Archangel Michael came to me and said that it would only take a homeopathic dose of darkness to hold the balance of all the light.
Yeah.
And if you know your way around homeopathy, that is an infinitesimal small amount of what would be poisonous, and it triggers the body to go into proactive response.
Right. I definitely
cool.
go with that. Yes, absolutely. And you brought up about karma, changing that from cause and effect to choices and effect. And this is a big piece of shift as well. And I'm wondering what precipitated this new alignment for you to karma.
Well, first of all, the record keepers, not the record keepers, Sana Kumara and many of the teachers that I work with have repeatedly stated there is no more karma. And what they mean by that is if there's no more karma, then we don't have to keep score on ourselves or others. And it is our highly evolved position of regret and awareness that allows us to not need karma because we get it instantly. Oh gosh, what I just said was hurtful. Or my actions yesterday were a little out of whack. This goes back to what we teach our children. Instead of teaching our children to say, I'm sorry, and think about how hard it is to get a little 3-year-old or 4-year-old to say, I'm sorry, when they don't want to say, I'm sorry. We're teaching them a convention of our society,
right,
which is a good thing. But at the same time, what I taught my sons when they were little was not to say, I'm sorry, but to say, are you okay? Now, recently I had an interaction with someone who was interacting with me very closely, and something happened that really was unacceptable. And so as I was calling it out and saying, look, you know, this is not okay, right away the person said, I'm sorry. And I looked at her and I said, you never have to say I'm sorry to me. And because she was a good study and had read my books, she shifted quickly and said, are you okay? Now, when she did that, I realized that the reason I was mad is because I felt exposed and that I wasn't safe. And so I had not touched that feeling until she said, are you okay? So that's the amazing thing of recognizing that there is another way to be. And when we teach each other to stop saying, I'm sorry, and instead say, are you okay? We give the other person a chance to be validated, and then we can respond to that new information. When we say, I'm sorry, if I say, I'm sorry to you, it puts you above me. If I require you to say, I'm sorry to me, then I'm above you. You didn't meet my standard. Again, it puts us, throws it into polarity. But when you ask, are you okay? It validates that I know there's something that just happened. And it validates the experiencer. No, I'm not. You know, and helps them tap into their own feelings. And then that feeling gets dissipated because you've named it and you've let it be known. It was a very powerful experience.
Yes, I can see that in letting it be known. There's a pause and a place for it at that time.
And I think my anger was because I was in protection mode. But if the person is saying, are you okay? Then I can reveal, oh, I was scared. I was, you know, feeling this. So it's very cool. Very, very cool. And that's 5D. That's a 5D conversation. Are you okay? No. I need you to know how it made me feel. Blah, blah, blah. Boom.
Our adolescent culture, so to speak, is shifting. And what is number one that you were writing when you wrote that book? Obviously, we can't say, or I can't really ask you what you want someone to get out of this, because you wanted to pass along information and you're not really asking or wanting anyone to do anything, I would imagine. Anyway, I'm trying to answer your question here after I ask the question. So,
I really like your analogy because I often tell people that we are like adolescents. And the way to understand that is think of raising a teenager and they do something mature and you're so happy they finally stepped up, but then they follow it with something stupid. And that's us. We're like a sine wave. We improve our awareness, and then we fall back. So your observations are really brilliant, in my opinion. And what I wrote in the intro was, this book is no magic pill. You must participate in your own learning. And then I go on to talk about how I'm sharing what I have learned so that you, the listener, the reader, can hear these messages and experiences and find ways to apply them to your own world. And what I've tried to do is give a lot of examples of how this will play out so that when you're in a similar circumstance, you already have the answer key. You already know how to deal with it. And because you've learned it as the observer, you don't have to make that mistake. Mm-hmm. One of my friends said to me once when I was babysitting her son, you know, it must be a lot of work to have four sons. Why, you know, and now you've got my son you're working with. And I said, well, you know, it's a funny thing. It's not as hard as you think, because when you tell one of them to use his napkin, they all do. They all, oh, we're going to use our napkin, you know, and they all step up. And this goes back to your comment about, I don't think it'll take 51%. When we, each of us, step into this place of unconditional love, of non-judgment, of compassion towards ourselves and each other, it's going to flip really fast.
Right.
And I think it is flipping. I experience it all the time. And I will tell everyone who's listening, when you purposefully adopt this policy and say to yourself, okay, I'm going to wake up in 5D, I'm practicing 5D today, and I'm asking all my angels and guides to assist me to do that, what they find is they've set a matrix around them that everyone who comes close gets to play in 5D. And so the interactions are elevated.
You know, all of this is a good reason why we need the teachers, the new teachers. You can read about what Christ's work was, or Buddha, or Krishna, but it needs to be in the current language, doesn't it? It needs to be in current experience in order for most of us to really pick up on it, because the cultures and language change.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I'm very grateful that I can be one of those teachers to help people get there.
Yes. And as we're closing, I thank you for bringing that up and what you write about the importance of looking for the most benevolent outcome in and for our lives, and not only looking, but asking for.
And the favorite phrase I would like to leave you with is, I'm asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I'm in contact with and everyone I am in contract with.
Maureen St. Germain, sharing her work and also from her latest book, A Bear in Company, published Mastering Your 5D Self. For anything Tributaries related, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. Podcasts are heard in the usual spots, and if not, please let us know. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.